Layer 311. What caused the Great Depression? Interactive. The screen displays a picture of a barren plain with two horses standing behind a barbed wire fence. On homemade wooden placards are painted the words, "Notice, Bargain Farm Special, this place for sale." Most scholars believe a combination of long and short-term factors led to the crisis. During the 1920s, America experienced an economic boom, but the boom was built on shaky foundations. The following screens discuss the complex causes of the Great Depression. Additional descriptions of the other photographs and information in this display follow. A photograph of dilapidated wooden tenements in front of shuttered factories with many empty smokestacks stretching off into the distance. The economy lacked diversity. Prosperity rested too heavily on a few basic industries, notably construction and automobiles. In the late 1920s, purchases in those industries declined, and newer industries did not emerge to take up the slack. A photograph of a woman standing in the rough-hewn wooden doorway with three barefoot girls, ages 7 to 10. Unequal wealth distribution undercut consumer demand. During the 1920s, the proportion of business profits going to workers as wages was too small to create an adequate market for the goods the economy was producing. In 1929, after nearly a decade of strong economic growth, more than half of American families lived near or below the minimum subsistence level. When they made major purchases, they did so on credit. A photograph of a crowd of men in coats and caps stand in front of a large barn at a farm foreclosure sale in Iowa in the 1930s. The banking system was unstable. During the 1920s, nearly half of Americans lived in rural areas, but farmers didn't share in the decade's prosperity. Many were deeply in debt, their land mortgaged, and commodity prices too low to pay off their loans. These difficulties in the agricultural economy put thousands of small rural banks in financial peril. At the same time, many of the nation's largest banks were investing recklessly in the rapidly rising stock market. A photograph of President Woodrow Wilson and the American delegation to the Versailles Peace Conference seated on Queen Anne chairs around a marble-topped table in front of a floor-to-ceiling French window. International credit and trade was threatened. In the late 1920s, demand for American goods began to decline as some European nations experienced growing financial difficulties. Those difficulties were connected to international debts dating back to World War I. At the war's end, all the European nations allied with the United States owed large sums of money to American banks. This led the European allies to insist on large reparation payments from Germany and Austria at the Versailles Peace Conference. But when those nations experienced post-war economic troubles, they became unable to make their reparations payments or service their debts. American banks then stepped in and made large loans to Germany and Austria, which they then used to pay their reparations and other debts. Consequently, a dangerous cycle was created whereby the entire system of reparations and war debts payments, including war debts owed to the United States, was dependent on funds borrowed from American banks. This unstable system could not be sustained when America's economy ran into severe economic difficulties. A chart of stock price indices over time from 1928 to 1929. Three lines labeled automobiles, tobacco, and all stocks show steady growth until October 1929, when all show precipitous falls. All these underlying problems came to a head in 1929. The Federal Reserve Bank became concerned about growing speculation on Wall Street. For years, many investors had been buying stock with borrowed money, betting prices would keep rising. Commercial banks also joined in the stock-buying mania. In late 1929, the Federal Reserve tightened credit to reduce stock speculation. Instead, it helped set off the great October 1929 stock market crash. Stock values plummeted nearly 40% in 1 week. They wouldn't return to pre-crash levels until 1954. A photograph of well-dressed men in long coats and hats crowd around the entrance to a bank in 1933, showing a run on a bank by depositors. The stock market crash did not so much cause the depression as help unleash a chain of events that exposed the long-standing vulnerabilities in the American economy. Stock losses led to lower consumer spending by investors. The Federal Reserve then made matters more difficult by further tightening credit. Businesses reacted by cutting back on purchases. This led to falling production and rising unemployment. As joblessness spread, consumer spending fell further. This created even greater drops in production and employment. The country fell into a dangerous deflationary spiral. The crisis soon spread to the banking system, in part because many commercial banks had speculated in stocks. When several prominent banks collapsed, depositors rushed to pull money out of the remaining banks. This led to more bank failures and severe credit restrictions. In rural areas, falling crop prices caused thousands of small rural banks to fail. Millions of people across the nation lost their life savings. America's pivotal position in the global economy drew other nations into the crisis. When the U.S. economy began to weaken, European nations suddenly found it much more difficult to borrow money from America. At the same time, high U.S. tariffs made it hard for them to sell their goods in American markets. Strapped for cash, they began defaulting on their loans, further expanding the financial economic crisis both in the U.S. and abroad. A photograph of men walking past a sign from the Chamber of Commerce that reads, "Jobless men, keep going. We can't take care of our own." Subsequent government action and inaction made a bad situation much worse. A photograph of the cover page of a 1931 address to the Academy of Political Science entitled "Tariff Barriers and Business Depression" by John H. Fahey. In 1930, Congress raised American import tariffs to record levels to protect American businesses. Other nations retaliated, reducing international trade and creating a deeper financial crisis in Europe and the U.S. A photograph of a seated pince-nez bespectacled gentleman with a large nose and thinning hair wearing a pinstripe suit and vest, white shirt, and black tie. Eugene Meyer, chairman of the Federal Reserve, 1930 to 1933. The Federal Reserve Bank maintained tight credit in an effort to preserve a strong U.S. dollar. This contributed to higher interest rates that made economic recovery even harder. A photograph of a long line of men. Hat in hand, they scoop food into bowls in a bread line in front of St. Peter's Mission. Republican President Herbert Hoover did not act aggressively to end the crisis. Hoover made some moves to combat the Depression, but he believed in limited government and relief through private charity. Though he eventually approved credit assistance for banks and businesses and some public construction spending, he was reluctant to fund massive public works projects and other stimulative measures, and he refused to provide federal relief money to the unemployed. With the private sector in crisis and the federal government unwilling to step in boldly to restore economic demand, the Depression continued to deepen. You will now be automatically redirected back to wherever you left off in the base message.